Going to read a lot of scripture this morning for a reason. The fate of our nation, I repeat now, the fate of our nation quite possibly may be in the hands of today's political and religious leaders. Just as the fate of God's chosen people in the Old Testament was in the hands of the kings and the Pharisees and Sadducees is recorded in this book. We might refer or refer to this as the neutrality of silence. Neutrality of silence. There was a voice raised in opposition to these kings and religious leaders of old time. It was the voice of God's prophet. And it was the voice of God's son. Where is that voice today in the United States of America? Neutrality means being safe. During a war, neutrality is chosen as an alternative to taking sides. Is that right? A reading of the Old Testament reveals the results of Israel and Judah ignoring the prophets of God. A study of American history reveals the sad fact that the church too often, has chosen neutrality. Too often it's chosen neutrality of silence. The words of those ancient prophets recorded in the Old Testament and the words of Jesus Christ recorded in the New were not neutral. I would like to concentrate this morning on the Lord's words, Jesus' words, the words of our Savior, the head of the church. And I'd like to concentrate this morning on his words addressing the problems of the religious and political leaders of his day. And I want you to know they were not neutral. In the book of Luke, our Lord is shown to be warning all who were gathered to hear him. All that were there, they crowded around Jesus when he was teaching. If you read the book, you see. He drew crowds, which very much upset the political and religious leaders of the day. But he did. And so a crowd had gathered to hear him, and turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Gospel of Luke. Chapter 12, verse 1. I want you to listen to what Jesus says here. When they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now the Pharisees were religious leaders, high up on the religious scale, if you will. And he said, what they're preaching to you and teaching you is hypocrisy. That's pretty tough. They're phonies. Amen? Don't listen to them. That's what he said. Wow. Beware of the Hippocratic preaching of your church leaders. Nothing very neutral there, is there? The leaders of the faith, called Judaism, had slowly, you see, become corrupted by assimilating the world's adultery and false teaching. Just slowly, over a number of years, it's all over the book. Very slowly assimilating, accepting this, rejecting that. The scribes, also referred to as lawyers, and the proud Pharisees and Sadducees, often tried to trick or to trap the Lord Jesus Christ in front of the people. I mean, the people gathered to hear him, so they would ask him questions and try to trick him into what they hoped would expose the fact that he wasn't telling the truth. Amen? They wanted the people to quit listening to Jesus and listen to them. What you see? Turn with me now to the 15th chapter of Matthew, if you will. Matthew 15. I'll read the first two verses. I'll wait if you have it, Bibles. First two verses. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition?" Notice the words. "Tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Why do they do that? Why do they break that tradition? You see, they seldom agreed on anything. And yet the scribes and Pharisees were together in this. Attempting to embarrass Jesus Christ. And listen now to his answer. And it certainly isn't neutral. Verses 2 through 4. 3 through 4. But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say of his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." You cancel God's word out of your vocabulary. In the 22nd chapter of this same gospel, Jesus out and out strictly rebukes this group of leaders. Matthew 22 now. I think it's best to use the word of God here rather than mine. Now listen to what Jesus says here. Beginning with verse, what did I say? 22nd chapter. I've got so many notes here. So beginning with verse 15. Then when the Pharisees took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. They sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither careth thou for any man, that thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Is it okay to pay taxes? Boy, I wish he'd have said no. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt you me, hypocrites? Now, this is the, the preacher. This is the leaders of the church. Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought it down with him, a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. And saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. That's pretty direct. He rebuked them, didn't he? Out and out rebuked them. They said to him, Caesar's. That's got nothing to do with the church. You take care of your business here, but you also take care of your business with God. That's called the separation of church and state, I believe. Chapter 23 of this same book, beginning with verse 1. We're already open there. Then spake Jesus to the multitude in another occasion. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burden, grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do were to be seen of men. They made broad their phylacteries, large the burdens of their garments, love the uppermost rooms and feasts, chief seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, to be called by men, preacher, reverend, rabbi. That's important to them. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. I wonder how many people never accept Jesus Christ because of the way the leaders act. I wonder. That's tough stuff, isn't it? Not easy to preach this. I don't enjoy it. And the main reason I don't enjoy it, beloved, is because in so many situations in our nation today, it is the truth. We're Baptists here, Briar Street Baptist Church. And it's a problem. There are a lot of Baptist churches. But you see, we're talking about the church. And the church isn't just Baptist. The neutrality of our churches and the situation that's going on in our nation today is shameful. I go on. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint, and Annas and Cummins, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strainer than that, and swallow the camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup, the platter, but within they are full of exhortation and excess. The blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside also may be clean. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of men that killed the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Now let's get the invitation. Now let's build a big church. I'm serious. Luke's gospel records an interesting conversation. When Jesus was invited to dine in a Pharisee's home, chapter 11 in Luke's gospel, beginning with verse 37. I'm glad this is in the Bible, not coming from me. Again, Jesus is speaking, teaching. As he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. This guy had invited him home to eat. Thank you very much for the nice meal. You fools, Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue, all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment, the love of God. These are you to have done, and not leave the other undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves that appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. I don't guess I'd be invited back there again. They simply could not tolerate the teachings of Christ, who was the God they claimed to worship.
That's right. Amen.
God Himself.
That's right.
In human flesh. This is tough stuff. This is something we should go home and think about. This is something we need to look inside.
Yes, sir.
And think about. Just as Jesus' warning indicates, don't listen to them. Remember, just as the warning indicates, we today must still beware of the hypocrisy that has infiltrated our American churches today. The two or three pastors that have spoken out openly about the latest attacks on our faith in our city, state, and nation are far outweighed by the agnostic, atheist, and downright evil elements of society. But far worse is the silence and neutrality of so many of our cities and states and nations' churches. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was not neutral. And yet, here is the amazing truth we learn from understanding the gospel. And yet, though he was not neutral, he died for the sins of those hypocrites, those Pharisees, and those scribes. And he said this on the cross, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they don't have a clue as to what they're doing. So should we condemn them? Or Bry Street, should we pray for them? You know the answer. Hard as it is, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, talk with me, study what I have to say. Speak out! Then I'll hear. And you know what I'll do? I will heal their land. Jesus Christ is not neutral, and yet he died for the sins of this lost world. Do not be silent. Individuals, Christians, do not be silent. But share his love with those who are bound for hell without him. That's a struggle. I threw him in the furnace. Remember, study Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Threw him in the furnace. That impressed the emperor, didn't it? I guess it would. Because they came out unscathed. But you remember what they told the emperor? When he said, if you don't bow down, you're going into the furnace? I said, well, you know, I won't go in the furnace. But our God will take care of us either way. Amen? Either way, we go in the furnace and get killed, we're going to be with him. Go in the furnace and come out there, it's a miracle. It's up to him, not us. And I want you to know this, Nebuchadnezzar, it's not up to you either. You see what we got going for us? Young man, you see what we got? We got God going for us, haven't we? Isn't that great? Think about it. That, beloved, is the kind of war we're in today. Jesus saw a warning in verse 33, chapter 13 of Luke, makes it very clear to us. He said, the hypocrites, he said, your servants, of the evil one, the servant, your servant is a generation of vipers. How can you escape that damnation? He's talking to them. He's talking to the leaders. Nicodemus, he said, that's one of the Pharisees. Remember? Chapter 3. He said, Nicodemus, you can escape the damnation of hell. Only one way. By being born again. It's spiritual, not fleshly. It's grace, not works. It's the New Testament, not the Old. Read the book of Hebrews. In order for you to see, Nicodemus, in order for you to enter God's kingdom, you must let me do it. Wow. That's really what Jesus is saying. Because you can't do it, Nicodemus. You Pharisees, you hypocrites, you vile serpents, you can't do it. You gotta let me do it for you. You gotta believe in me. You gotta trust me. It doesn't matter how many times they throw you in the fiery furnace. You gotta trust me each time they throw you in. Hate the sin but love the sinner is not an impossible thing for us to do, but we desperately need help to do it. Jesus told us how, didn't he? It was done for you and for me on a Roman cross some 2,000 years ago. Taken care of. It's finished. We've got it. We owe it to the hypocrites to let them, they think they have it, to let them know the truth. Because you know what? In a sad shape, as this nation is in today, and brothers and sisters, it's pretty sad. God and heal our land.